happy that you're with us. Tomorrow is one of four federal holidays. We have other holidays that we celebrate, but these are one of four federal holidays, meaning that it will be celebrated only by citizens of this nation. It's an old memorial. Some say it began even before the Civil War, that there were people who decided that they would go out and would decorate the graves of those who had lost their lives in the service of our country. It became a nationally recognized holiday, though, during the Civil War. In fact, at the end of the Civil War in 1868, then General James A. Garfield presented a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. And there he sought to have people remember the dead from both sides, those who lost their lives in both sides, both the Union and the Confederacy. And then those who were there went out and they decorated the graves of those who had given their lives in service to our country. It was first called Decoration Day for that reason. In fact, there are still some who, especially here in the South, there will be those who will still observe, usually in the spring, in April sometime, they'll remember a day, use the day called Decoration Day. Well, they'll go to cemeteries and they'll still do some projects and those kind of things along. It wasn't until World War I when the bodies of loved ones began to return from being lost in World War I that it began to be more than just a memorial for Civil War dead, and just was opened up for anyone who had lost their lives in service. It's after World War II that it officially became known as Memorial Day, right at the end of World War II, honoring those who had lost their lives and had sacrificed their lives in service to our country. In 1968, our government decided that they would have a national uniformity of federal holidays. It had always been celebrated on the Memorial Day on a Sunday. But in 1968, it was decided that in order to have uniformity in the dates of these four federal holidays, that they would all be observed on a Monday. There was a reason for that. It was to provide federal employees with a three-day holiday, vacation. With every action, there's always a reaction. We need to remember that. Every time we make a decision, every time a determination is made, it may be for the best of reasons, but with that, there always comes reaction. And it didn't take long before Memorial Day weekend became just another three-day weekend, a time to get away with the family, have hot dogs and those kind of things. And just a few, relatively speaking of us, will even tomorrow remember those who died in the line of service for our country. In fact, if you'll just pay some attention, as much as it is tried to keep it from happening, it still happens. That Memorial Day has become confused with just anyone who's ever worn the uniform. They're just remembered. They didn't die in service. May not have even, there's a day for that. They may not have even served overseas or anything like that, but they wore the military uniform. And so you'll see pictures of them on Facebook, and there's nothing wrong with that, except, hey, it's no longer a memorial at all. That's the reason I want to talk to you about Jesus Memorial. Because if we're not constantly on guard to things and about things, it can become much like this holiday that's going to be celebrated tomorrow. A few may do it. A few may do it, and a few may do it the way it was intended to be done. But generally speaking, it'll just be forgotten. May not be observed at all by some. And so we need to constantly be reminded of this memorial, Jesus Memorial. So I ask you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22. I'm going to begin reading for you in verse number 14. It's commonly read to us. It's commonly read to us before we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. It's commonly read to us. But let's read it again. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. And the hour was come, and he, Jesus, sat down. And the 12 apostles were with him. And he, Jesus, said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled now in the kingdom of God. He took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many. Jesus instituted his own memorial. It's important for us to understand that Jesus instituted this memorial. He instituted his own memorial. And he did it in such a simple way. I mean, the elements are simple. The request is simple. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, when we go to those memorial celebrations tomorrow, we'll remember the loss. We will. We'll remember the loss. I remember a classmate of mine who was 2 days in Vietnam. And on the second day of his tour of duty in Vietnam, was killed. I remember the loss. Man, what a loss. What a loss. Athletic, charismatic, could have been anything. Who knows what he might have accomplished in life? Who knows? Who knows how far he might have gone in terms of his life? And we remember. We wonder why. We wonder why. Why? Why did he have to die? Why? And we remind ourselves, well, of course, they're fighting for our liberties. They died in combat so that I can enjoy freedom. We wonder why, though. When it comes to Jesus Memorial, surely we ought to do the same. Surely we ought to do better. Why did he die? Why did he have to die? And of course, the answer is because there was no other way. Sacrifice all the bulls and goats you want to, Hebrews 10, verse 4. And there'll be no forgiveness of sins, but a constant rolling forward of those things. It's always in your conscience the Hebrew writers will say. It's always before you. But with Jesus' blood, the conscience is clean. Why? Because the sin is gone. It's removed. Why did he have to die? Because there was no other way. Thus, it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead the third day, the Holy Spirit would say through the pen of Luke in Luke chapter 24, verse number 46. It had to be this way. There was no other way. As we go out to those memorial celebrations tomorrow, those few who do, as we go out, we'll wish we could talk to that one more time. Just once more. You know the great thing about the celebration of our Lord's memorial is we can talk with him. In fact, he's right here with us, isn't he? He's right here with us. We'll go out to those memorials tomorrow and we'll wish we had could just tell that individual we love them one more time. You know the great thing about our Lord's memorial is we can tell him. And we do tell him. When we do what he asked us to do. What did he ask us to do? Remember me. This do in remembrance of me. What do you suppose? Well, yeah, how do you suppose I could disrespect in the greatest degree, show disrespect to those who have died on my behalf in the service of our country? I'm asking you to think with me. How do you suppose I could, in the greatest way, disrespect them? Wouldn't it be just don't remember? Just eat a hot dog, but don't think about them. Go to the lake, do your thing, don't remember. What a disrespectful thing. You know, there are some who today, even in the Lord's body, have disrespected this request of our Lord. Because they chose not to remember. Just don't remember. You don't have to do much else to be disrespectful to him. Just don't do this. Because what did he ask of you? Remember me. Remember me. Even today, there'll be some who, they'll go through the motions, but they can't wait to get out. They can't wait. They're not going to worship him. They're going to remember him. They're not going to worship him. They can't wait for that to get the motions over. Hurry up. Give me that wafer. Hurry up. Give me that cup so I can get out of here. So I can go do my thing. Disrespectful. Disrespectful. To the loss. We wish we could see him one more time. We wish we could spend time with him one more time. You know what? You got the opportunity every first day of the week. Don't you? You have the opportunity to spend time in communion with our Lord. How disrespectful we are when we don't. When we allow anything. And a lot of times, anything to be of more importance to us than doing what Jesus asked us to do. What do you ask of you? What do you ask of me? Remember me. This do in remembrance of me. I'll tell you, folks, this is one man who would rather die than not remember. We go out in those memorial celebrations, memorial observances tomorrow. We'll remember the life of the one who was lost. We'll remember it. We'll remember the times we visited, the things we did together. We'll remember. Through the simplest of elements. Unleavened bread. Which to us is the body broken of our Lord, broken for us. Why is it? Because that's what Jesus said. He said, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's his body. The fruit of the vine. The cup. He said in verse 20, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And I say to you again, the greatest disrespect that I can show to those who have laid down their lives for my benefit in serving in our nation is just don't remember. Just forget. The greatest disrespect that I can show to my Lord who asked me, "Remember me. Remember me." It's just don't remember. Just don't do it. As we go out for those memorial observances tomorrow, we'll remember the sacrifice that was made by those who lost their lives in the line of duty. We'll remember that. We'll remember they sacrificed, in fact, it's not uncommon to hear us say, they paid the ultimate price. And truly they did. They gave their lives. When we observe this memorial, the memorial of our Lord Jesus Christ, we also remember the sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice. The precious, pure, without sin, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, was given for me. Sinful, ungodly, me. And it's true for you too. Peter would say, the righteous for the unrighteous. That's sacrifice, folks. The righteous for the unrighteous. Though he were rich, the Apostle Paul would say in the 2 Corinthian letter, though he were rich, yet he became poor that we might be made rich in him. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Again, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22 would say, and by his stripes you're healed. And we remember that. I call your attention back to the words of our Lord in Luke 22. He says, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. That sacrifice. Which is shed for you. And he talks about it being a new covenant. A new covenant that had been promised. Had been promised to Israel and to Judah in Jeremiah chapter 31. There, if you look back in 31, chapter 31 of Jeremiah, beginning in verse number 31, and reading down through verse number 37, he talks about this day when there will be a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He says, I'll write my law in their minds. He says, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their iniquities. I'll remember no more. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 8 refers to that and says, hey, Here's what's going on. Here's what's taking place for you. This is after the cross now. I'm reading beginning in verse number 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless. You can think about it like this. If the first covenant could have provided you everything that was needed, there would have been no need for a second. Then should no place have been sought for the second? For finding fault, because it couldn't provide you what you needed. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with them. Listen to it. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they'll know me from the least to the greatest. All he's doing there, folks, is contrasting this new covenant to the covenant that he made with Israel out there at Mount Sinai. What kind of covenant was it? It's the kind of covenant that on the eighth day after the birth of a child, a male child, that male child was circumcised, saying, he's an Israelite. He's one of my children, God is saying. But how about now that we're under this new covenant? Well, you won't teach every man your neighbor and every man your brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? Because that's comes before. Under the covenant that he made with them at Mount Sinai, they were circumcised on the eighth day, and then they were taught to know the Lord. For you and I, we're taught to know the Lord, then we become children of God. Folks, there is no substitute for teaching. People are not going to become Christians if you don't share it. And I don't share it. They're never going to become, there's no substitute. And you're never going to go to heaven if you don't study the Word of God. There is no substitute for it. And you're never going to get everything you need in a 30-minute sermon on Sunday morning. Write it down. Some of us are going to miss heaven because we got no more interest in God than to read His will for our lives. There's no substitute for it. I don't need Bible class. I don't need, those are just things to supplement your own personal Bible study. But they'll all be taught. From the least to the greatest, to know the Lord. For they'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. Listen to the rest of it now. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. Contrast that to the covenant he made with them at Mount Sinai. There was always that remembrance for him. It didn't make any difference how much blood of bulls and goats were offered. There was no sacrifice for sin. There was no atonement for their sins. But now under this covenant, the covenant that Jesus established with his blood, we have the forgiveness of our sins. He's merciful to us. Our sins and our iniquities he remembereth no more. No more. So we have this sacrifice. The pure for the impure, the righteous for the unrighteous. A covenant we needed, but could do nothing to secure it for ourselves. A covenant that embraced mercy for who? For Jesus? No, mercy for us. A covenant that embraced forgiveness. For who? For Jesus? No, for us. For us. This is Jesus' memorial. And so I remind you as we close that I don't care which memorial it is. A memorial is important to the one who institutes it. Would you agree with that? A memorial is important to the one who institutes it. I don't care what memorial you're talking about. If you institute a memorial, it'll be important to you. It'll be important to you. Who instituted the memorial we're talking about this morning? Who instituted it? Our Lord did. Is it important to Him? It's important. Secondly, it's important for us to always remember a memorial is important to those who observe it. Those who don't observe it could care less. They could care less. In fact, that's exactly what they're saying. By not remembering, I could care less. I got more important things going on. A memorial's important to people that observe it, though. To people that observe it. If you want it to become unimportant to you, just become haphazard in observing it. And it won't be very long until it's not important to you whether you ever observe it, whether you ever remember. You won't care. A memorial is important to those who observe it. And thirdly, we must remember that a memorial is important to maintaining continuity. If you like the way things are going, if that's the way you appreciate that, memorials are extremely important. If you want to change a country, tear down their memorials. Tear down their memorials. Wasn't that exactly what happened at the end of World War II? Those Nazi symbols over those buildings in Munich, Germany? What did they do with them? They destroyed them because you're going to start a whole new way. You're going to start a whole new way of thinking. If you're going to start a new way of thinking in the minds of people, you got to tear down their memorial. Hey, when the United States went into Iraq, what happened to all those statues of Saddam Hussein? What'd they do to those? Didn't they pull them down? Why? Because we got to start a new way of thinking now. There's got to be a new way of thinking. Jesus instituted this memorial. He expects continuity. He expects in every generation there be this sense of continuity. How are you going to do it? He set up a memorial. He established a memorial. And to every child of God, everyone who's been saved by the blood that He shed, He says, remember me. Remember me. Are you with me? Had you rather die than not remember? Remember. Maybe you're here, you're a child of God, and you've kind of become haphazard and lackadaisical, and you know, hey, it can happen. It can happen. It was happening with Christians. It was happening with Christians in the first century. The Hebrew writer had to address it. Why don't you come home? Won't you make things right? Get back on that right path. Begin again to walk in the light. As Jesus Christ is in the light, following His footsteps. Why not today? Why not come back? Maybe you're here, you're a child of God, and you need our prayers. We're ready to help and assist you with that and whatever else is needed in order for us to be a people that God intended for us to be. But maybe you're here and you're not a Christian yet. We've not been really addressing you this morning other than just informing you that Jesus established a memorial for those who are His followers. Now it may be time for you to become one of His followers. We can help you with that. If you'll come with a heart full of faith and an attitude of repentance, we'll baptize you into Jesus Christ this morning. That for the forgiveness of your sins. Washed away by the blood that He shed. Now under that covenant a covenant of mercy and forgiveness. If you're not a Christian, let us help you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you have a need in any way, let us know. Come to the front. Do that now. As together we stand and sing.